Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about Advent, the 4 weeks of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. The first week, we touched on the concept of faith and its function in the developmental process. The second week, we focused on hope and the application of expectancy in the unfolding of spiritual understanding. The third week, we discussed the purpose of joy and the significance of the feeling state. Now, this week, we explain love as the ultimate human experience and the Christ as awareness of divine love in human consciousness. Listen as we introduce the birth of Christ as an inner dynamic, more on the role of the causal spiritual body as a practical guide for effective living. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience Christ-like compassion. Well, Swami, so let's get started. So let's talk about the ultimate human experience and the Christ as awareness of divine love and human consciousness. What does all that mean?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. I get that. But what we're trying to do is we're really trying to make distinctions here between finite love, worldly love, and divine love. Finite love or intellectual love or anything that is reported in our senses, that is provisional, temporary, it is under the law of karma, which means that it's in constant change, is very different than this divine law of love, which is under the rulership of the changeless state of being. But it is also the perfection of being. And that's what we want to talk about. The thing here is the Christ as awareness of divine love in human consciousness. And we speak about this quite a bit, is why isn't divine love reporting in human consciousness? And the reason is because it is whole, it is absolute, it is complete. Our senses work on duality. They work on contrast. And so anything that is apart from unity is what we really are looking at. And so we're in error to begin with. And it's really, I think, an important thing to really start to understand and internalize is that this thing called sin, this thing called missing the mark, really is anything that is sensual. And I know that that could be a tough pill to swallow. But the more that you start to work with it and practice it and start to experience it, because what is invisible and intangible is the only thing that is real. And in fact, this morning we were talking a little bit about quotes from the Bible, and Paul tells us that our sufficiency to think is to think of God. And what does that mean? What does that look like when we're doing it? And again, everything is contingent upon what it is that we think these terms mean. And for a lot of us, God is some cosmic puppeteer, some anthropomorphic image that has supernatural powers. And all of that doesn't demonstrate, it doesn't reveal the truth of our being, because we are, again, we are thinking of an image of God, not thinking with God as God. Because this concept of God isn't a cosmic puppeteer, and it isn't a person with supernatural powers. It is the force right now that is supporting, governing, controlling, and sustaining life. But it's not life as we think we know it. It is eternal life. It is life that is unchanging. And so as we start to understand this term called love, this term called life, and the laws that govern these principles, then we start to get a whole different perspective of who we are and what life is. And the thing about it that I'm finding is that there's a lot more clarity, a lot less ambiguity and confusion that comes with it.
So how do you break down to explain love as the ultimate human experience? Some people think that they're doing it right now.
Right. And the ultimate human experience is when you realize that you are an eternal spiritual being, that you are in the image and likeness of this divine law. And if your image is tangible, whether it be invisible and tangible or visible and tangible, then it's provisional and it's not going to endure. You're going to be under the law of karma, which is life that can become death, which in this model is an optimal. You want to choose the love that is eternal, that is absolute goodness, that can't become bad. You want the life that can't become death.
So if we're looking for material means to substantiate our understanding of love, if we have it or don't have it, then that's where we are truly missing the mark here.
Well, not entirely, because you do really have to use the testimony of your senses, but you want to use it more as a compass than as the point of validation or verification. It gets confusing and complicated because you can't rely on the testimony of your senses as your source of validation, but you must use it to make sure that what you are drawing from is producing the right outcome. So in other words, if you think that you're spiritual, but you are suffering with sickness and poverty and all of these things that don't come under the heading of optimal or even have the reflection of divine quality, the perfection of being, where everything is in perfect harmony and balance, and there is no lack or there is no sickness, that everything is absolute goodness. And goodness is an indicator that you're closer to the principle of life than badness. Sickness, suffering, all of that are indicators. But it's not the end-all be-all, because you can still be living out from the world and experiencing wealth and health and things of that nature. The difference is that your experience of wealth and health is under the law of karma, which means that it can change and become bad health, or it can become poverty. Whereas your optimal position would be under divine law, which is absolute health. It's absolute wealth, and it can't become anything but goodness. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I do think so. I have another comment or question. to ask, and that is, people refer to Jesus Christ, but through our studies and research, it's really Jesus should be thought of Jesus the Christ. And I'm wondering, can you kind of give us an explanation of the difference between the two?
Yeah, I think a lot of us grew up thinking that Christ was Jesus's surname and kind of like his last name. So he was Jesus Christ. But Christ is really a title. Christ is the symbol for, or the word that's used for, the Messiah. And that's what we said in the opening, that the Christ is awareness of divine love in human consciousness. It is something that is readily available to each and every one of us. And it is what enables us to make this transition from material understanding, material law, material values, into divine law and the principle of divine love.
Is that what we're talking about when we say that Christ represents the indestructible man?
Right. That all life really is an expression of this indestructible principle. And you can call it life, you can call it spirit, you can call it love, you can call it principle. There are all these different terms that you can use for it. And Christ is what makes that intelligible to human consciousness, because it doesn't report in our five-sense mind.
So obviously this is a week of Christmas. And I remember last year we had a show and we talked about Christ Mass. We broke down the word Christmas. And I thought that was very interesting. Wondering if you could share your thoughts with us about that.
Yes, yeah, it's more of a communion with the Christ. It's the term that we use in yoga is prey, P-R-E-Y, on prana. The presence of divine law becomes your source of sustenance. It's what we turn to for validation, that your whole sense of well-being is established in a relationship with this invisible, intangible presence of this indestructible principle. And as we're learning, how we think is what we become. As Paul told us in the Bible, our sufficiency to think is to think of God. So if we hold our attention on the presence of this indestructible principle, then that becomes the measurement that we start to shape our reality with. That's what we will start to externalize, is the presence of divine law, as opposed to if we are enamored with the testimony of our senses, if we are getting our validation from the law of karma, from duality, from matter and mind, which is fear and limitation. And if we draw from fear and limitation, that's what we become. But if we draw from truth and wholeness, that's what we become.
So it's interesting, from your definition of Christ Mass to how we are experiencing Christmas now, really kind of seems like we have fallen short of the mark there as well.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes down to, what are we trying to do? And that's where I think the big distinction came between other denominations of Christianity and what Mary Baker Eddy discovered with her Christian Science. She really started to understand that Christianity was a science, that spirit was a demonstrable principle. And that was more in compliance with the early commands of Christianity. Jesus said that he wanted us to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And so she really brought Christianity back to its original roots, where it had deteriorated into a belief system that distorted understanding of what religion has become, as opposed to what it was intended to do.
All right, great. Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, in the summary of our show, we said that we were going to introduce the birth of Christ as an inner dynamic. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe you can tell me and our listeners, what exactly do we mean by that?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is being able to separate the Christ as a eternal principle and Jesus as the appearance of a mortal being. The Christ is the awareness of divine love in human consciousness. It's kind of like the interpreter. It takes the content of divine mind and makes it intelligible to the human at some level. It's not the same as our five-sense mind. It's not the same as what we call thinking, because we've talked about this, that the divine deals in the absolute. Spirit is whole and undivided, and it is complete. And we are accustomed to dealing with duality, which is what has separated from that unity, from that unified state. And the Christ is our ability to understand the information that pours out from divine mind.
So it sounds like we almost need to have like an interpreter, because maybe we don't understand what it is when it's happening to us.
Well, that's exactly true. And a lot of us are preoccupied with the testimony of our senses. That becomes what was called the sin, that we're living out from a dimension of reality that is apart from the divine. So we're out of divine law. And this secondary creation has rules and laws of its own. It's the law of karma. It's the law of opposites, which is very different than divine law, which is the unified state. It's the absolute. Even when we're trying to understand things, a lot of times we're trying to understand things from a finite sense, and you really can't understand spirit materially. You can't understand the immortal from the mortal. And so that's what this Christ is all about. And Christ Mass is being able to present this to the collective consciousness. And hopefully we can begin to awaken in our divine likeness, which is the true spirit of Christmas. That's the ultimate gift, the awakening that you are. You are the expression of it, of an indestructible, eternal principle. You are life itself. You are life, love, truth. That's a far cry from waking up as a mortal, corporeal, tangible human being.
So what do you suggest? Or what are your hopes, I guess, for lack of a better word? So the next time that we all see the phrase spirit of Christmas, or watching any Christmas movies on TV and we hear that that phrase, Spirit of Christmas, what is it that you would like us all to remember or think about?
I can only think of Ian Anderson in one of his songs. He says something to the effect that that drink that you are drinking is not the spirit of Christmas. We have the tendency to misrepresent a lot of this information. And so if you can really start to look for the invisible intangible, it's really helpful, and start replacing human thinking, which is basically being bombarded with the impressions and appearances that are stimulating our senses, and to start to move from human thinking into what is called divine knowing. That saying in the Bible, to know the truth and it will set you free. Well, what is the truth of our being is that we are eternal spiritual being, and we have accepted that we are corporeal, finite, mortal beings. And in our acceptance of that, it kind of keeps us in this cycle of death and rebirth. It keeps us in this law of karma. And so to think differently, to start to look for the invisible, intangible presence, and to start to trust that, and to know that what is not reporting in your five-sense mind, really, it's not reporting because it is a different mode of thinking. It is thinking in the absolute. It's not that you're not thinking, it's that you're thinking differently. And I think the term in the Bible is to make thine eye single.
Well, I like what you have in your notes here. I think you summarize it pretty well when you've written, Christmas may be looked at as a holiday to elevate the masses to the understanding of the likeness of humanity to the divine. I think that sums it up pretty well.
And when we start to see ourselves in that likeness, and we start to understand ourselves, and again, that's the whole thing of the Christ that makes all of this intelligible to us at the human level. There's a quote here that I have from a work called Addresses by Bicknell Young, and kind of coming back to what we were talking about a little bit before the break about the whole thing of healing and how that plays into this equation. He has a story in that work, and I'm quoting it now, told of a man who went to see a practitioner and said to him, Christian Science says divine love meets every human need. Why haven't I been healed? The practitioner said to him, where is your divine love? And then he goes on and he says, Mrs. Eddy always worked from the standpoint that disease could not stand where love is. We need not only to believe in love, but to live in love, to be love, to know that there is no other being than love. Love is the acme of all things, and love is the divine principle of all being, the mind that is God, and the life that is man. Love is the only essential principle of the universe, and you cannot go beyond principle. And that's the end of the quote. But I really think that he captures what it is that we're talking about here in this small phrase, and especially when you come back to Christian Science says divine love meets every human need. And the key question that we all have to ask ourselves is, where is our divine love? Where is divine love? And especially if our external appearance of our reality is contaminated with discord, sickness, suffering, pain, all of the undesirable things, then these are good indicators that we really don't know what this divine love is. And big part of why we don't is because we're thinking humanly. And our only point of reference is finite love. It's the love that can become hate. It's the love that can deteriorate and not last very long. Because divine love is eternal love.
So we may get ourselves a little mixed up, because I think we think that this time of the year, that's when we're supposed to, you know, put forth, you know, charity and giving and all these other things. But then that's just putting a belief in that the conduct is us showing love, and that's really not what it's about.
Right. The other thing is this whole thing of divine knowing. Because, again, if we understood creation as it is divinely, then there is never anything needed. That creation is perfect, whole, harmonious, pure, eternal, unchanging. Now, if we are seeing the lack, the limitations, if we are looking at things through our corporeal mind, then we think that there's something out there that needs to be fixed. And that's how it doesn't work. Because it is belief that gives all of these abnormal conditions any power at all, gives error its appearance of being real. And that's where we fail. Whereas if we substitute human thinking for divine knowing, and we live out from that perfection of being, then we don't try and fix anything. There's nobody out there. There is no sickness in God's world.
Mm-hmm. We still see people who may have colds, or they may have some type of infirmities and things like that. So how do we get past that?
Yeah, and again, it's not easy to make that conversion, to go from material values, material means, to spiritual understanding. And to answer your question, the best way to do it is what I had said earlier, is start replacing your human thinking with divine knowing. Know the truth of your being. Know the truth of your reality. Not from what is appearing before your senses, but from the invisible intangible, which is perfect, whole, harmonious, complete.
Now, I'd like to ask you or comment on, I know that you have a new class that's available through your website. I believe it's on Wednesdays. You have a new webinar. And hoping that maybe you can share that information with our listeners and how to get there and what is it all about.
Yeah, every Wednesday now we're starting to do a open forum, a discussion group that you can sign up for. You can go to the website, and if you click on online classes and scroll down with that, if you get to what's called Pray on Prana, and that's P-R-E-Y, then you can sign up for the free webinar. It's just based on whoever shows up and whatever it is that we want to talk about, but we are talking consciousness.
Mm-hmm. That would be a great forum for people who have questions about this show in particular or any show, whatever they may have going on in their lives, they can hop on and it's pretty much whatever they want to talk about.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds great idea. This is a great place to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit that website, www.ipdtransform.com. And again, you'll have all kinds of tools on that website to continue your learning experiences. And don't forget also Facebook Live Wednesdays at 5. And also now you know the webinars on Wednesday at noon. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a really wonderful Christmas and hope we all wake up on Christmas morning in our divine likeness and in the perfection of our being and start the new year in that new identity. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.